On behalf of Gerda and her family, welcome to all of you who have come for this memorial service. We understand that there may be some viewing this service online as well, and we want to acknowledge that, especially Andy's sons, Tanner and Torin, as well as Jill and also Avert. Does everyone have a copy of the program? Anyone not have a copy? If you could raise your hand. There were a few at the back yet. There's one over there. This afternoon, we want to remember the life of Andy Krubosch. He was born on January 12th. 1958. He died on March 18, 2015. Andy was 57. As we begin this afternoon, let us do so with words from the Lord, reading some lines from Psalm 31. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief. Yes, my soul and my body, for my life is spent with grief. My strength fails, but I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. From Psalm 90, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. From Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. And finally, from Romans 8, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This past week, when I visited with Gerda, then at one point she mentioned, or a number of times, she mentioned how Andy loved to sing. Just this past Sunday, he was sitting somewhere about three quarters of the way back there and joining with the congregation here that met and worshiped the Lord. And so it's very fitting that in these moments we also sing. And let's do that now from Psalm 103. If you take the Psalter book from the pew, turning to number 284. Great and mighty God, we unite together in prayer this afternoon, and we acknowledge that you are the God of life and of death. It is you who give life, and it is you who takes life away. And we bow before your sovereignty, also as it has been on display in this past week, for the life of one whom we have known, the life of a son, a brother, a father, a relative in a number of ways, a friend. The life of Andy Krubosch here on earth has come to an end. Lord, we did not expect it. He did not expect it. And that has been part also of the difficulty of this week, that we have had to absorb the reality that Andy sat here in this sanctuary just this past Sunday and participated with the congregation in worshiping you, in singing and in listening to your word. But 2.5 days later, he was gone. Lord, we pray that you'd be with those of us, all of us, but those especially who mourn. His mother, Gerda, with whom he was living, and who found him. We pray that you would comfort her, even as you have done so in these days already, that you would continue to be with her and to strengthen her, together with Andy's brother and sisters and their families, as they will miss their brother. And the extended families that are in this area, we think also of Tanner and of Torin, Andy's two sons. We pray that you might be, Lord, to them, as your word says, a father of the fatherless. And that in their grief and sorrow and in their struggle, they may know that you are near and that they may cry out to you and experience that you are a help to them and a strength. We pray, Lord, also for Jill, the mother of Tanner and Torin. We commend her to you, as well as Avert and his father. We pray, Lord, that you would be with them and all of us who, in some way or another, knew Andy. We pray that in the multitudes of our thoughts within us, your comforts may delight our soul. Your comforts, Lord. As we reflect on the reality of death, as we try to understand what death is and why death is here, then your word gives us clarity. Your word gives us insight so that we know death is here because of sin. And for that reason, we humble ourselves before you, knowing that we too, all of us, are sinners, and therefore death is at work in all of us, and we all will have to die as well. Lord, as we also read from your word, teach us, in view of what has happened this week, to number our days and to gain a heart of wisdom. We thank you that there is wisdom to be gained, and not only that, but there is life to be found, and that in your Son, he whom you have sent into this world and who has lived on behalf of all his people and who has died in their place, and whom we know has now also risen again as victor over sin, over death, over hell, so that all who look to him, though they die, though we die, yet we shall live. We remember that Jesus himself said that, and we take comfort and courage from those words. We pray that as we reflect on the life of Andy this afternoon, that you would bless us. We thank you, Lord, for all that he was and for all that he could do in his life. We know that he had many struggles and that he was afflicted also with weakness and sickness, that the effects of the curse were in his life, as they are so often in ours as well. Yet we are grateful, Lord, to know that Andy had a desire to be in your house and under your word, and that those who were closest to him could speak also of him being a brother in you. Lord, we pray that that reality, that state in which they knew him, may be of comfort and strength in this time of grief. We pray that you'd be with us in this time together, and also as we will listen to a brief message from your word, grant that your Holy Spirit may speak to us through the word, and that it may be a blessing to all our souls. Hear our prayer, and remember us, O Lord, for the sake of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. This time, may all be seated, and we'd have Richard, Andy's brother, come forward and give some reflections in relation also to Andy.
Ooh, this is cool. I don't normally come up here like this. This is in unusual circumstances, of course. But I want to say thanks to everybody for coming, because, you know, when things like this happen, all of a sudden people you've never seen for years come out of the woodwork and you find out that they cared, that they held you up in prayer. And our family really appreciates that. We really do. Thanks all for coming. So I was asked to say a few things about my brother, and I've been going over a lot of thoughts in my mind, and I realize when you get in your 50s, you can hardly remember what you wore yesterday, so I looked at some of the pictures at the back, and I'm his older brother, but only by 11 months, so we were like typical young boys. We played a lot together, and I don't ever remember fighting. My mom might have a different story, but like typical boys, we had our friends, and we did boy things, I guess. I do believe, though, that Andy was the golden boy in the family. You know how every family, one person has to have a golden boy or girl or something like that. That was him. He always tried to do things right, always did things well, better than all of us. Sylvia was the trendsetter, paved the way, see if mom can handle it, setter. I was the black sheep. Andy was the golden boy. Evelyn was just spoiled, the spoiled baby. Oh, I'm on the internet. I'll never get that back. I love you too, Evelyn. But there are a couple of things that stood out. He was the only one of us four that went to university. So there's that golden boy thing. I would sign up for ham radio. The girls would learn haircuts, practical, real stuff. Or if I came home with a report card with 90s, Andy would have 97s. Always one up. But I do remember one time we were in bed together, and Mom and Dad were visiting with Tony and Sheila out in the backyard, and I sent Andy downstairs to get some cookies. Mom and Dad's outside. Go down and get some cookies. I'll stand guard and warn you. And then he went down reluctantly, and then Mom got up right away and started walking toward her house, and I panicked, and instead of saying, "Andy, Mom's coming," I said, "Mom! Andy's stealing cookies!" So that might have been responsible for that little bit of competitiveness between us two. There was another time we lived in a big gray stone house on King Street beside the Lloyds. Of course, when you're little, everything looks big, right? And Mom and Dad had sent us to bed. And Andy, the golden boy, you know, he went right to bed. He looked just like an angel. But bedtime to me meant trampoline time. All right. So I had this big shelf beside my bed, and I got some good bouncing going. I think I irritated my parents because they kept shouting, you know, "Settle down!" And a few choice Dutch cliches, which I'm sure were terms of endearment. But finally, my mom came upstairs, and "Now that's enough!" And Andy was asleep quietly like a baby on his bed, and I was like on my bed, and she looked at us both, and she spanked the daylights out of Andy. So, poor guy, I don't know if he had a little bit of a complex because Richard was always on his back, but somehow he survived. He was still the one who got to be on a football team at high school. His girlfriends were the hot cheerleaders. So I guess there's perks in being an obedient child and just working hard and being good. He finished university. He got his BA in math, business administration, and computer sciences. That is really cool. And he went on to work for some big companies, System House, EDS, Alberta Government, and stuff. And there's one thing he did. Alberta used to have license cards where the picture was laminated and the card was paper and it was bulky and awkward. And he was part of a committee to change that over to what we'd use in Ontario. So Jill told me this week that during those weeks she would find prototype license plates in the freezer, in the stove. He was doing all these things to try to make sure it wasn't fraudulent proof. Finding it in a lasagna, I don't know. And so if you ever come across an old Alberta license card, The picture in the background is the one my brother picked. All right. So, Andy moved out to Edmonton. You know the saying, go west, young man. Well, he was the first one in our family to go west. And he stayed out there. And the years went by, the decades went by. His entire 25, 30 years of marriage was all out there. So it seemed like I got more and more out of touch with him. You know how that happens? You don't mean to do it on purpose, but you still phone each other for birthdays and Christmas and stuff like that. But it just seemed like after a while, I hardly got to know my brother anymore. In the meantime, he married Jill, a wonderful woman. He had two boys, Tanner and Torin. You can see their pictures at the back there. Actually, he turned out to be a real family man that really appreciated his family and extended family. He loved his boys, take them to hockey, take them to baseball and stuff like that. He was always the sports geek. And extended family, when nieces, nephews came, he just loved that. And I saw that a year ago when he lived with me, that even whenever my kids came over, he just lit up. He loved it. My grandkids, he just had this big smile on, and he just loved to interact with family and extended family. I didn't know that about him. A couple years ago, I found myself in a position where I had to go out and get Andy and bring him home to my house for a while. A lot of you know he struggled a lot with his mental health, and he was just so down. My wife and I prayed about it, and we went out west and got Andy. And I did my first road trip all the way back. I pretended I was confident and knew what I was doing, but I'd never done that before. But it turned out to be probably more of a blessing for me, because I got to bond with my brother. I got to know him again. It's like that cereal commercial, tried again for the very first time. I got to know my brother as my brother for the very first time. And you know what I found out? After all those years, after all those decades, we still love each other. He was really, when he was himself, he was really such a gentle man. He really was. And he would work at our church, helping the guys out with the woodwork and stuff like that. And I got to know my brother, and he opened up to me a little bit more than probably a lot of other people. And I realized that my image of him as a golden boy when I was a kid wasn't as accurate as I thought. He never had a mean bone in his body toward me. I was searching through his papers over the last day or two. There's a lot of loose ends to tie up when something like this happens. And I came across some of his Bible notes, because we had sort of like a Bible study thing at our place. And he was right into it, and he would always write all his thoughts about it. And I came across one notation that said, "Lord, you are my rock and my strength. Help Richard to understand." But he had that word strength underlined. The Lord was his strength. You know, if I can say one thing about my brother, I can say this, because I know it. Andy knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God who died on the cross for his sins. And because of that, we have all the confidence in the world that he's with the Lord right now. I can never be as good a nurse as Jesus can. I forgot to look at my papers. You know, something like a sudden stroke or a massive hemorrhage, that can happen to anybody, You, me. If it were to happen to you tonight, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Because I got Andy's Bible right here. And there's a verse in here that says, I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. You can know right now. I'm not going to say goodbye to Andy because I can say goodbye for now. There's a difference. You guys are all so quiet. You know, if you haven't done this in your life, I'm sure you have. You could go right to the Lord and say, Jesus, will you come into my heart too and be part of my life? And everything you did in the Bible on the cross, can that count for me too? Because he'll say yes. And you'll get to know, just like Andy, just like a lot of us, what it means to be, live, and walk a forgiven man. I wanted to close with a piece of a song that I really like, hope you'll mind, from my favorite rock band, Dream Theater. All right. Which I used to torture Andy with whenever he was with me. Whether he was in the car or helping me renos, I would force him to listen to my music. And this is the Lord saying it. I walk beside you wherever you are. Whatever it takes, no matter how far. Through all that may come and all that may go, I walk beside you. I walk beside you. Praise the Lord. Amen. We asked Pastor Joel also if he would come up and say some things from God's Word. So, Pastor Joel.
Thank you, Richard. Before we go further in Scripture, let's sing again from the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. It's also in the back of your program. There are two stanzas that will sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness and Pardon for Sin. And after we have sung that, we'll read from God's Word. I have a little meditation from Psalm 62, and I'd like to read that psalm with you now. Psalm 62. It's a psalm of David. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you. Like a leaning wall and a tottering fence, they only consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times. You people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. Do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his work. So the words I want to highlight, especially this afternoon, are from verse 8. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. other family of Andy, and friends and members of at least two, if not more, churches of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have come together to grieve. It has been a sad week, hasn't it? And that sadness will continue. Even when we may believe that Andy is with the Lord, as was also reflected on a moment ago, there is still an empty place. A son is gone. A brother is gone. A father is gone. A friend is no more. I know I will notice it tomorrow. Andy was here every Sunday for quite a number of months. I just saw him walk into church last Sunday. I can still see him walking across the foyer. Many weeks I had the opportunity to shake his hand. I remember the last time very well. It was March 1. He came out that door over there. He came out the way he always comes out. Shakes my hand. "Hi, Pastor," he said. And off he goes. Who'd have thought that'd be the last time? Who'd have thought that a mere 18 days later, he'd be gone, having left this present world? What a reminder, isn't it, to us to be ready to go and to live ready. How do we do that? Well, we do that by faith. We do that turning from sin, trusting in the Lord Jesus, all through the power, of course, of the Holy Spirit. But it is this call to faith that we hear in the words of Psalm 62, verse 8. King David is writing this psalm. And he's writing this psalm in a time of personal distress. We don't know details about this distress, or not too many details. It was distress. That's really the main point. And David, he's writing about this experience, and he's writing at a certain point also to call others to exercise the same faith he learned to exercise in the time of distress. For example, David says in verse 7, "In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God." Really appreciated, Richard, how you shared how Andy reflected on those very words. Didn't know that you'd bring that, but it's beautiful how that comes together here. But David goes on in verse 8 and he says, "Trust in him at all times, you people." So he's talking outward now. "And pour out your heart before him," before God. God is a refuge for us. Well, in this meditation this afternoon, briefly I want to bring forward three things concerning this God whom David calls us to trust. The first one is this: how able God is. How able God is. Because look at the word that David uses to describe God. End of verse 8. God is a refuge for us. A refuge. What's a refuge? Well, a refuge is a place of safety. A refuge is where we go for protection. Where we go to escape danger. If you're out somewhere and there's a bad storm that comes up, then maybe thunder and lightning, heavy rain, and so on, you might seek refuge, say, in your car or in some other shelter. Or if someone is after you, someone wants to hurt you, if your life is being threatened in some way, then you might go for refuge to a friend or to a place where you know you can find protection, safekeeping. We all understand this imagery of a refuge, don't we? But David is saying that is exactly what God is like. He is a refuge. He is a place of safety. Not only that, but God is someone to be looked to be trusted. Notice verse 8 at the start, "at all times." Trust in him at all times. Meaning, David is saying, in everything, whatever dangers. And David wrote this psalm in the context of great dangers, but whatever dangers there might be, whatever cares and fears and anxieties and stresses and troubles, in all things, there is someone to whom we may go for safety. What David describes earlier in the psalm, how God is a rock. God is my defense. God is my salvation. Yes, God is a refuge.
He's almighty after all. He's everywhere present. He is the God who is over all. Oh, how able he is. It struck me this past week, Gerda, that you know this already. Because when I came on Wednesday morning, and the news was so fresh, and in one sense you were shattered, but in another sense you were amazingly calm. And I heard it from your own mouth. God is with me. God will help me. You were full of sorrow. And you'd cry, and I'd call you later, and you were crying. And yet, even as you were crying, you could reflect, God is with me. God is my safety. And that's exactly what David is saying, isn't he? God is a shield, a defense, our salvation, our safe place. Now you have to remember that. All of us. As time goes on, as reality sets in, as the empty place begins to be felt. Yes, and not only with what's happened this week with Andy, but all of us in all of the things that come into our lives, when there are questions, when there are tears, when there is pain, when there are fears, when we are weak or sick, when the devil is tempting us, when all sorts of things press in to our lives and want to take us down. Oh, God is able. When we go to Him, He will shelter us. When we go to Him, He will keep us. When we go to Him, He will save us. We may, in the fiercest of storms, be able to have a peace that passes understanding. When our whole world can come crashing down upon us, we are able to be strong and steadfast in God. David is saying that. Trust in Him at all times, you people. God is, if anything else, God is able. He's a refuge. So that's first of all, God's able. Something else, second thing. God's open. God's open. Isn't that what David is saying here with the second line of verse 8? Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. Pour out. Well, we all understand that imagery, don't we? We all know what it is like to go to someone and to pour out our heart to that someone. When we're down, perhaps. When there is one or another trouble in our life. Or when we are afraid or confused or full of sorrow or whatever else. What a blessing when there are people in our life to whom we can go and in their presence we can, as it were, unburden ourselves. And we can take the lid off our heart and say, let me just spill out to you what's going on. We know what that's like, but isn't it true that sometimes it can be there's no one to talk to? No one, let's say, who will listen. No one who understands. No one who's awake. Or no one who's around. Sometimes, isn't it true, there's a sense in which no one else is open. But David is saying to us, it's never that way with God. Not for a second. Trust in Him at all times. And at all times then also pour out your heart before Him. He's open. In trusting Him, we may call on Him. We may cast every burden and care and grief and question and struggle and everything on Him. What's on your heart, you may bring it to Him. Right now, you may lay it before Him. He's open. He's open. Isn't David so encouraging with regard to the Lord? But of course, what is so often our problem? At least I know it's my problem. God's open. I stay closed. I don't go to Him. That's what we do, right? As people, we don't call on Him. Even when we know better. Maybe others, we might talk to them, we might share with them, but we don't go to God. Or others, maybe they can help us, but only in a measure. No one can help like God. No one is so mighty and safe. No one is so wise and good. No one is so strong and blessed as God. In this psalm, David is contrasting God and people. People are but vapor. God is a rock. And David's point now is, you may go to Him at any time and with anything. He's open. When we don't go to Him, isn't it true that that is when things get more difficult?
I was reading one old Christian on this, and he was saying, look, when we just hide our griefs, when we just keep them inside, when we don't make it a habit to pour out our heart before the Lord, what happens? We just get more and more distracted with our distress. And we descend even into hopeless despondency. Maybe some of us here can identify with that. God's open, but we stay closed. We've kept things up nice and tight. Has it helped? It never does. God's open. Let us be too. Pour out your heart before Him. So God's able, God's open, and finally, God's free. God's free. What does that mean? Well, think of it like this. Sometimes we might see, say, a counselor. Something happening in our life, and we say, look, we need some help. And so we go to a counselor, we sit in their office, and under their care, we put our trust in them, we tell them what's going on, we look for help from them. And of course, that's a great thing to do. There's a real place for that, especially when the counselor is well trained, and we would say all the more so when that counselor is a Christian counselor and has the Holy Spirit and the light of God's Word. And many times, and this has happened in history, and many of us here might even know that, God can richly and mightily bless that. And that's reason to be grateful to the Lord. But what happens after every counseling session? Every time we go into the office and we pour out our heart before that counselor and get counsel and advice. When you leave, what do you have to do? You have to pay. Right? There's a fee, or someone has to pay. There's a price. The session costs us something. And of course, that's fine and right, because counselors have to eat like the rest of us. But here's the point. When you go to God, when you trust Him, when in prayer you pour out your heart to Him, what's it cost you? Nothing. He's free. There's no fee. There's no price to pay. There's no cost to us. No, God's free. He's able. He's open. And He's free. We may freely go to Him anytime and with anything, and we never have to pay Him a single thing, which of course is really incredible. Because we are talking here about God, the infinite, righteous, awesome God. Meanwhile, ourselves, little more than, if we're honest, poor creatures who are by nature also sinners and rebels before the Lord, and therefore deserving nothing but His rejection and even His judgment forever. That's the way it is. And yet He's free. There's no charge. We may go to Him. Doesn't matter how many times we go to Him, and no matter what we bring to Him, He's always free. He'll hear us. He'll hold us. He'll help us. And we can talk and talk and talk. And He'll be our refuge. And not ever is there any mention of, well, it's getting time. This is really racking up, you know, in expenses. No. What a deal. God's able, God's open, and God's free. What a deal. How can this be? Well, we know, don't we? It's for the sake of Jesus Christ. God's own incarnate Son, who, when He was here on this earth, in the service of His Father, and in the place of His people, in the place of sinners, this very great Savior, remember how He went to the cross, and how He was in distress. How He was oppressed and despised and abused and tortured. How He was suffering in both body and soul. Yes, ultimately He was enduring the infinite wrath of the Father in relation to sin and to sinners. And as He was in that state, there came that point when He found Himself utterly alone. No one to look to. No place of refuge. No one to pour out His heart to. What does He Himself say? Why have you forsaken Me? That was Christ. And He was forsaken by even His own Father, so that God, for the sake of Christ, might be able, open, and free to such as us. Oh, family and friends, this is the gospel, isn't it? And many of us, if not all of us, we know it, and we even may know it well. Have we embraced it? Do we live as those who are looking to this God and to His Son? Do we live trusting in Him and pouring out our heart to Him, finding Him to be our refuge here and forevermore? As has been reflected already in this afternoon, and from what I have learned in conversation with some of you as family, there's every reason to believe that Andy did this. In all his struggles, yes, and with his sins, just like the rest of us, Andy, through the Spirit, believed this word of grace and sought to live in faith and trust. But you know, that's not the main point now, is it? Andy's earthly life is over. Yours and mine is still going on. Let us then, hearing this divine direction from the Lord Himself, let us be people who trust God always and for all things. Let us be people who look to Him and who lean on Him entirely and without hesitation. Yes, especially to be saved from our sin and from the wrath to come, but then also in life and with everything. Yes, the sorrow also of living without Andy in our lives. Oh, hearing that God is able, open and free, let us be those who trust Him at all times, who pour out our heart to Him, and who find Him to be indeed a refuge like no one else. Let's pray. O God, so able, so open, and so free. We thank You for Your word. We thank You that Your word can speak also in this time in our life, when there is grief, when there is sorrow, when we have to absorb the fact that a loved one is gone. We pray that You would, with Your Holy Spirit, bless this word powerfully to us, so that it may help us, not simply on the surface and in a superficial way, but deeply and for the rest of our life. Lord, work that each one of us may be and may continue to be people who trust in You at all times, also in these times, and who pour out our heart before You, and who find that You are a refuge like no one else, a place of safety, someone to go to, and with whom to be at peace, and to be secure. We pray that especially again for the family. We commend them to You. And we ask that You would go with them. As we have a special time of meeting each other in the hall, it's already happened this afternoon, but as it goes on, and opportunity for hugs and encouragement and just wishing each other well, we pray that You would bless that. But then also, as time goes on, as our days continue, Lord, in that empty place, make Yourself known. And most of all, we ask that You would open our eyes and open our heart, if never been opened, or else more and more, to see and to love You, the great Savior God, who also in Your Son so gave Him, and He gave Himself so that we might be forever safe. Hear our prayer and remember us, O Lord, for good. In Jesus' name, Amen.